John 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Apostle Paul found reason to testify about the kind of service that he rendered to God in the labor of the gospel. So in Romans chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. God is my witness. God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. According to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you read from verse 23, you will see that there are three basic components that form man. Man has a spirit. I know that it is common knowledge in various quarters that man is a spirit, but I did not find that in the Bible. The Bible says that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is no time in scripture where you find the scripture saying that man is spirit. According to Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Now, just in case you came with a little one and that child is filled with the Holy Ghost and excited, I would like to counsel that you take the child to the green room so that the child can express his or herself maximally. Right now, we want to contemplate on the truth of the Word of God. Now, listen. It says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. That's not how spirits are constituted. So you are not spirit. That's not backed by any scripture. The Bible reveals that you are spirit, soul, and body. That kind of creature that has three compartments that are equally relevant is called man. Is that clear? And the Bible makes us to understand that it is the spirit component of man that God seeks after when he wants to have communion. The spirit component of man is the organ that is in man that is calibrated to be able to operate on God's frequency. It is modified to be able to understand the rhythm that is transmitted from the layer of God. The Bible makes us to understand that God is spirit. Doesn't look like spirit. He is spirit. When he comes into your realm, he seeks out your spirit, because your spirit is the organ that can understand his frequency. You see, the Bible says that for thou will lighten my candle. The Lord my God. God will enlighten my darkness. The Bible says that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. With that spirit, he searches even the inward parts of the belly. You see, when God shows up, he shows up to light your candle. He shows up to inspire your spirit man so that your spirit man can receive intelligence from him. He can upgrade your spirit man to be able to commune with him on his own terms. Every activity of God that involves man is an act of God that brings your spirit into the economy of communion. So your spirit is a vital organ that we cannot ignore when we talk about doing business with God, because God is spirit. Are you there? All right, so this man says that his service to God was done with his spirit. His service to God was a labor in the gospel, in preaching the gospel of Christ, to make humankind aware of several provisions of grace that God has trapped in the heavenlies that have been occasioned by the sacrifice of Jesus. There's so much in store, and humankind is not aware of this. And so God is speaking through Apostle Paul that if the riches of God's grace that are encapsulated in the gospel can be unveiled, it will take the spirit of a man that is willing to serve God in that wise to bring people into the economy of God's grace to enjoy the riches of his grace. This man is saying, I serve God with my spirit. So the component of emphasis right now, tonight, is your spirit. Not your soul, not your mind, not your emotion, not your will, not your body. This man is trying to get the attention of your spirit. And the reason why we need to get the attention of your human spirit is because worship is only capable in the human spirit. Worship is an initiative that requires the human spirit to fructify. Oh my God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. It will interest you to know that God is in a search, a very desperate search for true worshipers. And I will tell you why. Stay with me. Let's not go to John chapter 4 first. Let's conclude there. Let's come to Romans chapter 1 first. Notice that Paul says, God is my witness, whom I serve, what? With my spirit, in the labors of the gospel. Why is it that Paul is calling on a witness to be a testimony of the quality of service in the labor of the gospel that he has rendered? The reason is because no human being can see what is going on in your spirit. But God, who is spirit, has the capacity to judge what is obtainable in your human spirit. So in order for him to reveal the purity of his labors in the gospel, he had to make reference to God as a witness. It means that there are so many activities that can take place in the privacy of your human spirit that even the closest person to you has no knowledge of. It is not every manifestation of God that is obvious, that is external, that is discernible by your environment. There are mighty moves of God that can take place in the privacy of your heart that is not on display for others to see. Now listen, it is not every organ of your body that is supposed to be seen. The day you see someone's liver by the roadside, it means somebody has died. There are There are activities of God that are private. They are hidden. They are trapped in the human spirit, such that the only evidence, the only person that has the authority to provide evidence for the presence of that activity will be God himself. Because this service of the gospel that this man brought to his generation was an activity that was captured and dispensed in his human spirit. Many of us came here today, and your response tonight did not come from your spirit, because there are human mechanical ways of mimicking worship. But true worship is something that is sustained in the human spirit. In the book of John, chapter 4, where we read, the scripture we read in verse 23 and verse 24 is a part of a discussion that Jesus had with a woman that was coming to draw water from a well. This woman, unfortunately for her, began to approach the well at a time when Jesus had dispatched his disciples to go to the neighboring marketplaces to buy food. And so Jesus was alone by the well side while this woman made effort to come access water. Now, are you still with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's the book of John, chapter 4. So, Jesus was actually leaving Judea and departing to Galilee. There were three routes that Jesus would have taken, three alternative routes that were available for Jesus to take other than this route that Jesus took. But he felt compelled to go through Samaria. Meanwhile, you need to understand the sociological setting of the New Testament scripture. So in those days, there were three basic people groups. So you had Jews, you had Gentiles, then you had Samaria. Samaria was in the middle. And if you are a proper Jew, you are not supposed to be having any dealings with Samaritans. You are not supposed to be having any dealings with Gentiles. So it means that for a proper Jew, the options of routes that he can take in view of possible encounters with Samaritans were already defined. The first two routes are the only routes that are available for a Jew. But in the book of John, chapter 4, the Bible says he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he must needs go through Samaria. It means that the Holy Ghost had made a very strong impression upon his heart as to the route to take, because he knows that the average Jew is not likely to take the route that passes through Samaria. Are you there? So he was compelled to go through this route. He did not choose it. It was the will of the Spirit of God for him to go through Samaria in accessing Galilee. Are you still with me? So Judea is the national part of Israel. That's where the customs of Israel, that's where the traditions are. Galilee is the international part that has an international trade route passing through its corridors because of the Baltic rock that exists in the south. So you find tribes like Zebulun, tribes like Naphtali in the international side. And the reason why Zebulun and Naphtali were notable places of darkness was because of the international trade route. When people are passing from the nations of the world, they pass through those routes and they come with their gods. So they advertise their deities at the borders of Zabulon. That's how Zabulon and Naphtali became territories of darkness, because they were at the international end. And Jesus was leaving the traditional end, Jerusalem. Are you there? He was navigating to Galilee, where there were liberals. These guys are, they are classic religious people. So he was navigating, and just like I said, a proper Jew has only two options, because he doesn't want to have any form of collision with Samaritans or Gentiles. But the Holy Ghost put pressure on his spirit. And the Bible says he needs to go through where? Samaria. So he himself did not know what he was going to encounter, but he was sure of the fact that it was an impression of the Holy Ghost that was responsible of the choice of route. So you can imagine, on that route, you are not likely to find Jews. He was alone, moving through that corridor. Then he arrives at a place called Sychar. Because of hunger and other needs that for which he had, his disciples were sent to go bring supplies, and he decided to sit by the well of Sychar. You must understand that this was a place he was not supposed to be, if not for the impression of the Holy Ghost that was upon his heart. Sychar means mirage. I don't know if you've driven long enough, and then on the highway you see something like a pool of water on the road, but by the time you arrive at that spot, the water never existed. It was an illusion. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus sat there. And when this woman showed up, and obviously Jesus' tunic suggested, the way he was dressed, the kind of regalia that he was putting on, suggested that he was a Jew. So you could get that information at face value because of the style of clothing that he put on. When the woman came to draw water, traditionally, they were not supposed to have a discussion. She should do what she came to do and then go back without any form of interaction. So Jesus knew that she was not likely to speak to him. So he decided to initiate the discussion. Can I have water to drink? Notice that this mission was a spirit-induced mission. It was not a choice. It was the Holy Ghost that led Jesus to this place. Can I have water to drink? And the woman came up with all of the social discrimination factors and all of the intoxications of racism. But are you not aware that Samaritans and Jews are not supposed to have dealings? So she was attempting to educate Jesus now. It seems you've been away from home. You do not understand the burden of your people. There should be no interactions between us. And Jesus made a strange statement. He that drinks of this well, he shall thirst again. But there is a water that I do give, and anyone that drinks that shall be satisfied even unto eternal life. Oh. Are you there? Jesus had access to living water, but Jesus was lacking drinking water. So don't get it wrong. I'm in custody of living waters. And if you drink of the water that I have to give, you will not thirst again. But he that drinketh of this well, he shall surely... Oh my God, there's nobody like Jesus. He shall thirst again. And the woman looked at Jesus in his helpless state of thirst. I said, you don't even have anything to draw with. what facility are you hoping to use to give me this living water that you speak about? So that means Jesus had broken the first barrier. He has been able to engage a discussion with a woman that traditionally should not be talking to. And her level of discernment of him at this stage was that he was a Jew. Are you following? Now, I will not show you what I'm doing until I finish. When I finish, then I will show you what I've been doing. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. This is what the woman said. How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. So the first thing Jesus confronts her with is the knowledge of the gift of God. If you have known the gift of God that is present here today, you will discover that I'm not the one that has need. You are the one that has need. You are the one that needs living water. I can cope with my thirst. The reason for the communication is to reveal your need, that I'm abundantly equipped to meet. She left that discussion again. I went and started talking about the difficulties that Jesus had, because he doesn't have anything to draw water with. Because from her own perspective, water needs to be drawn. And Jesus is not equipped with the utensils needed to draw water. So how is it that he can give this living water of which he speaks of? That was when Jesus made an attempt to reveal to her that the waters that we are talking about are different. That he that drinks of this your water, he shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. I'd like you to underline, if your Bible is not borrowed, underline well of water springing up into eternal life. And then the woman became interested in Jesus' water much more than Jesus was interested in her water. He said, give me this water to drink. And her motivation for asking for the water was that she doesn't want the burden of always coming to the well side to fetch. See, her concept of water is still physical. He said, give me this water so that I will not have need to be coming to the well every day to fetch. Are you there? The moment the woman discovered that she was the one that had need, it wasn't Jesus that had need, she now made a request, even though her understanding of the request that she was making was not accurate. Jesus did not bother. In keeping with the need to minister to her request, Jesus now asked her a question. When you go into the city, bring your husband. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus made a strange statement. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. You have spoken well on that matter. Because the truth of the matter is that you have had 5 husbands. The 5 traditional marriages were conducted. Your family escaped 5 times. You called your family people for a very serious matter. And when the five marriages failed, the guy that you moved in with now is not your husband. You say no more ceremonies. Maybe that's the reason why the thing failed. So you just moved in. So you have had five husbands. And the one that you are with now is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly. That means you used to lie before. But today you are sober and you decided to speak. This is still someone that believes it. This is still someone that believes he can help Jesus. Now I'm beginning to see that the first husband did not satisfy her. The second husband did not satisfy. The third husband did not satisfy. The fourth one did not satisfy. The fifth one did not satisfy. The one he moved in with now, that is testing again. And Jesus now is the seventh man that she's going to meet. And this one wants to quench that thirst. Are you with me? So when Jesus got to this point in verse 19, you will see her response. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Where did we start from? Jew. But the well that Jesus is digging. You are not aware that Jesus is actually digging a well in this woman. But... So at this point now, the woman has given Jesus a different designation. The previous designation was Jew. And on the strength of Jew, we should not have dealings. The discussion was amounted to digging. A lot of digging is taking place. And then they got to a point, the woman said, I perceive that you are a prophet. So you see, some depth has been achieved. But you see, the waters that Jesus has to give to this woman cannot flow on the revelation of Jesus as a prophet. Because in several religions, they believe Jesus is a prophet. That's not sufficient revelation to make available to you the living water. So the digging must continue. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, I don't know how far he dug into your heart. Maybe you stopped at Jew. But Christianity is from the Middle East, and because of that, we are not from the Middle East. We should have our own God. That's if we want to be religious. And you know, you are still at the level of Jew. The concrete that is around that Jew is serious concrete. And is far away from where you can tap into the living water. So at this time, they had reached prophet. That's a lot of mileage. And Jesus... Hallelujah. It was after the woman arrived at prophet that the woman now brought an issue concerning worship. He said, our fathers worship God on this mountain. But ye Jews, can you see that the woman lost all the ground that she has gained in the discussion? She still referred to Jesus as a Jew. Ye Jews say that it is in Jerusalem that we must worship. It is in response to this woman that Jesus now said, woman, believe me, that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. That the worship of the Father will not be locational. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I need to take time to explain what Jesus means by that. So, in the digging, they are still at prophet, even though the woman wanted to violate that depth. Then Jesus now brought this reality, how that worship is something that is only capable in the human spirit. Whereas, it might interest you to know, and I did that study before I came here. I did all of the scriptures that speak about worship in the book of Psalms. All of it. I read all before I came here. Now listen, I can tell you this with authority. It is only human beings that have the capacity to worship God. Whereas, everything that has breath can praise God. And when you hear the frog, what's the sound that the frog makes? Okay, so whatever. That sound that you don't like. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know you guys are in paved houses and paved roads. You have not been privileged to hear the croak. You've not been privileged. You need to visit the mangrove forest. Then you now know that soprano, tenor, and alto did not start with the choir. The frogs know how to. Oh my God. Everything that has breath has the capacity to praise God. But it's only man that has the capacity to worship God. If I take you through scripture, you will find out that, yes, that's what I found out in the book of Psalms. You will never find a psalm where worship and music goes together. Trust me. Trust me on that. And you can go and, you know, I said I did my research before I came here. And you are not under or any obligation to believe me. The first time worship was mentioned in the Bible, it was Abraham. He was going to sacrifice Isaac. He did not carry any tambourine. It was a mourning session. He left the young man and said he's going yonder to worship. And that worship was an act of sacrifice. It was an act of loss. You can't combine that kind of grief with a tambourine. Jesus said, the hour cometh, and indeed now it is, where the true worshippers, it means that they are fake worshippers, they are false worshippers. But the true worshippers will worship the Father, not in on this mountain, not in Jerusalem, but in the Spirit. And you will notice that there is an addition that Jesus makes to that presentation. He calls it Spirit and Truth. So that truth component, how I wish all of you were in the service this morning. I did a teaching that I don't want to repeat. You need to understand what truth is in order for you to be capable of worship. Because every worship must be in truth. How I wish I had time. Let's try. No, we can't try. We can't try. We can't try. Let me give you a summary of what I taught this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. And this scripture is talking about the real Jesus. He said, this is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Aletheia. That's the same word. The Spirit is truth. So in the service this morning, we saw that there were three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. We saw that there were three that bear witness on earth: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And we were able to come to the conclusion that the Spirit is the only witness that can witness about things in heaven and things on earth. So making the Holy Spirit occupy the office of witness, both in heaven and on earth. You see, the identity of Jesus could not be revealed by a man, because Jesus did not come from earth. Jesus came from heaven. Oh my God. Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. If you wonder in your heart, I will know. Just stay. So in order to unveil the identity of Jesus, the witnesses of heaven had to come testify about him. And the occasion that will mobilize the witnesses of heaven to bear testimony would be the occasion of water, which is baptism. So baptism was one of the strategies that was ordained by God through which the identity of the Messiah will be revealed. So as Jesus was coming out of the water, the Bible reveals that the Holy Spirit came upon him in bodily shape like a dove, and he sat upon him. And the Father also brought his own accreditation, saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what witness does. Witness reveals something for what it is. Something can be hidden. It will take witness to bring it out. Just like the death of Jesus took place on the cross, and his tomb was in secrecy. His resurrection was in secrecy. But it will take witness to bring those things that are hidden out. And only the Holy Ghost occupies the office of witness. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, what included us in the capacity to witness was that we received an empowerment that came from the Holy Ghost. And since the Holy Ghost is the chartered witness, it is that empowerment we receive from him that qualifies us to labor alongside the Holy Ghost to bring witness about the reality of Jesus to our generation. Are you there? Now listen. Three things were mentioned there. Jesus came by water. That is John the Baptist's baptismal service that revealed him. Jesus came by blood. That was his sacrifice at Golgotha. And the corresponding omens that were triggered by the impact of his blood touching the ground outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Are you there? The first omen was earthquake. Second omen was eclipse. Third omen was that the garment that protected the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. We explained that extensively in the morning service. And you need to get that tape. Are you there? So much so that even a centurion that was a Gentile, he saw the way Jesus was crucified and all the omens that accompanied him, and he declared that this Jesus was a righteous man, that we killed the wrong person. That's an unbeliever. When he saw the things that happened, the reactions that took place because of the blood of Jesus that was spilled at Golgotha, he concluded that Jesus was a righteous man. Is that clear? Now, just in case you were not there when Jesus was baptized to know who Jesus was, you were not there when he was crucified, we have one more way to know. He says, it's the Spirit that beareth what? Witness. Why? Because the Spirit is truth. He didn't say the Spirit has truth. He said the Spirit is aletheia. Aletheia. The Spirit is reality. Are you there? Oh, you're not with me. You see, that same scripture in the book of John chapter 16 from verse 12, it says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, stop there. I need to explain what worship in spirit is. So give me 15 minutes. Stop there. Are you aware that Jesus in the book of John chapter 16 says, I have so many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them. How be it? When the Spirit of truth is come. That means Jesus' ministry had a limitation. The limitation his ministry had was the capacity of the people that he was speaking to. If the people don't have sufficient capacity, he will hold back on many things he wants to tell them because they cannot bear it. But you will notice that in the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that capacity limitation does not exist. It is because of his style of delivery, of dispensing the economy of God. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, he does not come speaking. His approach for capacity building is that he guides you into aletheia. That's the word for truth in that scripture. Now I got your attention. For instance, healing is a reality that is in the realm of the spirit. If Jesus wants you to understand healing, he will not come to you to describe it, to explain it. Sorry, if the Holy Ghost wants you to understand healing, he will not come to you to describe it and label it and say, okay, these are the four types of atmospheres where healing can take place. This is what healing can... No. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that time. What the Holy Spirit will do is that he will take you, open the door of the place where the reality of healing is, and he will cause you to encounter it. You are not with me. He will open the door of the place where healing resides, then he will cause you to encounter it. when you encounter it, you now know it experientially, not cerebrally. You see, most of the education that we received education on the soil of our soul. But a spiritual experience is sown on your heart. Your heart is your core, is your center of gravity. And anything that has not touched your heart cannot change your life. You can ignore hunger. You can ignore thirst. You can ignore appetites that are longing to be satisfied, because all those appetites and all the powers that travel with them has been crucified. So if you ignore it, nothing will happen. It has no true foundations. It is a shadow that is masquerading like reality. But when Christ hits the core of your spirit and brings your spirit into encounter with reality, and reality is in different forms and fashions. I just mentioned healing now as a reality. Healing is not something that we describe. It's not something that we explain. It's something that people need to experience. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can guide you into that reality. When you have encountered that reality, you become qualified to speak about it. You become the prophet of it. You testify about it because you know it now. Jesus, in his own style, will come and teach you about it with the hope that the Holy Ghost will furnish the reality. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he doesn't come talking. He brings you into the reality first, and then you become the one that will talk about it. You get that? Okay, so worship is not something that we are capable of naturally. In fact, the idea of worship according to scripture is arriving at the place where you exercise complete committal to God. Worship is an altar of sacrifice that is calling you. And then you now agree the way Isaac agreed to be sacrificed. You now, because Isaac could have overpowered Abraham. You are not with me. In that enterprise of worship they wanted to accomplish, the young man saw firewood. He saw that dagger. The young man can overpower that old man and tie him up. It was an act of worship that made that young man not to strive. And he submitted completely to the process. The reason for the music is not the worship. The music is an inducement that will make it easy for you to lie on that altar. It's easy for you to make that decision to lie on the altar, to be, in fact, for your liver to be taken out. That aspect of the stronghold of Satan in your life. Jesus now has liberty by through your worship to trust the dagger and to conduct a surgery and take out that anger and take out. So the idea of worship is more of submission and committal and surrender. It is not singing. It is yielding. It is not talking. It's giving of yourself. Those of us that understand New Testament theology, you will know that the next thing that a believer should do after his salvation is that he must consecrate himself. If it's reasonable, we are expecting, we are hoping that you are reasonable. The next thing that he does to reciprocate the love of God that was manifested on the cross is that he goes ahead to consecrate himself as to serve the will of God. That the reason why he's existing, the reason why he's living, is to serve God's will, not to serve his own purposes, his own plans, his own schemes, but God's will. Are you there? So that place of committal, where God now has the liberty to invade your space, because you submitted to me, I now have the liberty to ask you to stand up and pray, even when there is a legitimate reason why you should not be praying now. You are tired. It is because you express committal to him in your worship and you surrender. That's why he has that right over your life to come and insist against your will that this is what I want. And if your transaction with God has not come to a point where your will can be surrendered, where your will can be put under the carpet so that God's will can find expression, it means that you never worshipped. The woman brought a question of worship. Our fathers told us that we should worship God on this mountain. But ye Jews say it is in Jerusalem that ye must worship. And Jesus said, what? The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in aletheia. See, as you are surrendering, I don't know if you felt it. I don't know how many of you felt it during the time of worship. This is my brother here. He wanted to sing, but he lost his utterance. The reason was because the one he was singing about had appeared. There was no need for him to be talking. And he was disarmed right there. Oh, you didn't notice that moment? That moment. And what he did here in response to that moment was not trance. It is your consistent act of worship that provides the platform of legitimacy for God to step into your life and to begin to make demands of that which he paid for. He paid for it. And in terms of property rights, you do not have any legal ground to stop God from doing what he wants to do, but he will not come until you worship. Until that committal is seen. That was the secret of Abraham and the philosophy behind the life of the tent and the altar, which was the pattern that was built in the life of Abraham as a testimony to all men of faith. So as you begin to worship, the Holy Spirit now creates the reality of the presence of Jesus, and you begin to yield to him. That atmosphere, see, this yielding you are taking place, this activity that you are doing, the person you are yielding to, you cannot see the person with your physical eyes, but the Holy Spirit is going to animate the same environment. Just like the Holy Ghost wants you to experience. Now, the reason why you were able to do that is because you didn't see anything. The Holy Ghost did not help you. Because if the Holy Ghost animates his majesty, there is only one way you can go, committer. I'm going to stop there today. To give us another opportunity to reach that mountain. So that you can be on that altar. That's what worship is. Worship is not the song. It's not the rhythm. It's not the sound. It is the willingness to sacrifice yourself on the altar so that he can be Lord and he can demand of you that which pleases him from your life. That's how he becomes your God. Is because you worshiped him. That's why when you call on him, he will fight in the day of battle. It was because you surrendered completely in the day of worship. For the hour is coming, and now it is, where the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Can you rise up on your feet? We are going to try it one more time. If you have not bowed the knee, it's because you never saw his majesty. And it's the Holy Ghost that comes to animate that. He animates it. He animates it and he causes your heart to discern it. And when your heart discerns it, you will know that you cannot live for anything else except his glory, except his will. That is a proof that you have worshipped. In worship, you give away your rights and allow him to be your king. In worship, you give away that which is legitimately yours and make him owner of every ounce, every space that is in you, and every space that is for you. That's how worship is achieved. men that were able to exercise their spirit in the worship of God, even in the day of trouble. They were able to touch him in complete surrender. Those were the men that understood the technology of how to move the hand of God against their enemies. Don't forget, everything that has breath has the capacity to praise, but only man can worship. And I don't have time to tell you of the politics in the book of Genesis, because what Satan wants from man is that he wants man to worship. And what God created man, one of the things he created man to do is to give him worship. And the Father is looking for worshipers. He's desperate about it. Presence down is worship. As you begin to diminish in his presence, then he enlarges himself. If we achieve that, then it will be easy for me to pray for the sick. And you will see healings will begin to take place. Not because I'm powerful, but because we secured his presence in worship. Before we fly again, I want you to take a moment, and with the fruit of your lips, you want to exalt him and mean every word that you say. The first thing that we need to cultivate is that when you are in God's presence, mean every single thing that you say. Don't speak casually. Don't talk rashly. Mean every single word. Can we take a moment right now? Now, make this place your secret place. Your secret angle, your secret place. What you do in the privacy of your closet. When you want to be released completely for him, make this place like that place tonight. Because God, turn your heart into words and use it to adorn him, to beautify him, to exalt his name. Silabose ke la mina santoria. Yeko se mina kura basanteli. Mamon salababoria sika breska minala. When you see him, make him king, crown him king. We give you worship tonight. We exalt your mighty name. Irabobo santoria bramatali. Yakose kamante ni bokoria, shemanantos skive. No. Bawa ema belongs to the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Blessings and glory and glory. Ha ha. Power and might belongs to the Lord. Jesus' response to the woman was, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh for such to worship him." Hallelujah. When Jesus gave that response, it was so complex for the woman, and the woman said, "Well, when Messiah comes, he will explain better to us." And Jesus said, "He that speaketh unto you, I am he." Can you see from Jew? When Jesus said he will give her water, the woman addressed him as Sir, from Jew to Sir, to prophet, to Messiah. It was when they got to Messiah that the fountainhead of that well that Jesus wanted to give her broke open. It was the water from that well that she went to water her city, and the entire city came to Jesus at the well. It was that water. Only worshipers can win over cities, win over nations, win over their families. Oh my God. Let your container on the inside be open to receive the fountains, the flow of living water in the name of Jesus Christ. Power and might, power and might belongs to the Lord. Forever and ever and ever. Power and might belongs to the Lord. Forever and ever.
Light of grace, come in la bonda. Semine queso salabo coria mama. I compress, come by more than I come by my light. Yamo seri mama, mose ele carababo. Semina conde de la bosa bababa. Light of the mama.
From the hearts of men, God will enlarge himself so that everyone can see him. Oh my God.
Oh, be unto the Lord forever and ever. Power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever.
Now, if someone came here, you came here with an affliction, sickness, maybe it's 12 years old. You have a doctor's report in your hands showing that all the scans were done and indeed the sickness is in your body. We are going to expose those sicknesses to the presence of God. So what you do for me is this. Put your hand where the sickness is. For those that cannot hear, one of your ears has gone deaf. Your eyes has gone weak. You have a pain that you've been managing in your body. There is a doctor's report in your hand that speaks about an ailment that has no cure. You just manage it with drugs. Oh my God, you are welcome to the house of God. Can you put your hand where that sickness is? I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus.
Be unto the Lord forever.
Oh my God. The spirit of paralysis has overtaken your limbs, your legs, your hands. You have been immobilized for a while. Why not expose it to his presence tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Oh my God. There's somebody under serious torment here. I see you. There's a spirit that visits you in the night when you go to sleep. Sometimes the experience is almost physical. Tonight is your night of deliverance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, tonight I rebuke every sickness, every affliction, every curse, every disease. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I take authority over these afflictions, pains. Be gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my God. I break that yoke of pain. I break that yoke of affliction. That growth in your lungs, I bring an end to it. That growth on your body, I command it to wither, to dry up, to dissolve in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every symptom of fibroid, cancer, growth of any kind, dissolve in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I confront every lung condition. And I command those lung conditions, give way in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Is there someone suffering torment and demons come to speak into your head? I break that yoke. I break that yoke. I seal up the link in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the pains to go. Oh my God. My sosi kabela makakura tabi. Let the affliction cease in the name of Jesus. I bind every deafening spirit. Be bound. Be bound. Come out of the ears. I bind every blinding spirit. Be bound, be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your healing river, your healing anointing, to begin to effect a cure on their bodies. Oh my God, someone came with an excruciating pain on your waistline. Even as I speak, the pain is beginning to disappear. Even as I speak tonight, it's beginning to disappear. It's beginning to disappear in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So there's someone that had something like an accident 2 years ago, and even though the area that was affected by the accident experienced considerable healing, but the pains have returned, all the symptoms have returned, and I can see that it is Satan that is trying to bring back the symptoms. He's trying to bring back the pain. And right now, I stand in the name of Jesus, and I command that pain to leave your legs, leave your hands, leave your body in the name of Jesus.
you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Now I say to the eyes, eyes, see. I say to the ears, ears, hear. I say to the pain, pain, go in the name of Jesus. Let it wither, let it fall off in the name of Jesus. That one with issues that have to do with the digestive tract. The hand of Jesus comes upon you this instant. It comes upon you this instant. It comes upon you this instant. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Put your hands down. Morafa, take the mic. Stand there. Now, I'm going to take like 5 testimonies just in case you notice that there was a change in your body while we prayed. You are going to register yourself here. Make sure you check it and you are convinced that, okay, so a change took place. The rule is this: if nothing happens, say nothing. And if something happens, do not keep quiet. While we are waiting for them to check and to respond to Pastor Emmanuel, I have some things I have to give you. I have some things from Jesus that I have to dispense and to dispatch. Hallelujah. So you check, you notice that your eyes can see. You notice that you can hear. You notice that there's a shift. The pain has gone. Report yourself to Pastor Emmanuel. Pastor Emmanuel. Pastor Emmanuel. Okay? Now, can we pray? I want to give you something. I kept seeing in my vision. I had a few quick visions while I was preaching. And in one of the visions, I saw a lady in this place. I don't want to describe the lady. I saw this lady. And there is a gift that God wants to impart upon this lady's life. Because God wants to use you to reach your people. Yes, he wants to use this lady to reach her people. So God is going to bequeath to you a gift. A gift. A gift. So that's number one. That's number one. Huh? That's not all. The Lord will move through this auditorium, and all such people that he wants to send to their people, he's going to give them a gift. He's even coming closer. He's coming closer now. The Lord is coming closer. He's coming closer by his spirit. He's coming closer. He's coming closer. He's coming closer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask all those ones that you want to send to their people as saviors, as messengers of deliverance, I ask that you arrest them. Arrest them. Arrest them. Arrest them. Arrest them. Arrest them. Power in my
belongs to the Lord forever and ever.
Bura la 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 boke samina. Power and might. I see someone whose hearing has been restored, and the person is still in the congregation. Please check your ears, check your hearing, and when you confirm it, you can come on. Morafa, what happened there?
Yes, this is us.
Now, we can't hear you.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. So this is Sister Noella.
She was feeling an excruciating pain in her waistline.
Waistline.
And when you proclaimed the word of knowledge, she received it, and now she could not feel any pain. The pain is completely done. And not gone. And not only that, she had had an excruciating pain in her left knee for almost 8 to 10 years that she had to wear knee brackets.
Okay, knee brackets.
And now the pain
also... For about 8 years?
Yes.
Or since high school? And did you check it? He's gone.
Please,
oh my
walk
God.
Around this.
You come. You can come. Can you use that?
Hallelujah. Oh,
be unto the Lord. Forever, ever, power and might, Ura Salabu,
ah, you are here,
Salabu Le Manaita, Salabu Le Masika, power and might.
You know, I said that there are some things I have to dispense. So if your heart desires the healing anointing, you desire it, because I know most of you will say you do. I'm seeing that only two people here desire that thing, really. But you can register your desire. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that this healing grace will rest upon everyone whose heart is open tonight. From my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall, put the grace, put it on. Oh my God, put it strong. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest in the name of Jesus. There's someone that a fire, you will feel it on your body. Yeah, you feel that fire. There is a lady that will feel that fire. Yeah, she'll be caught up in that fire. Ushers, when you find that lady, bring her to me. Oh my God, I don't know.
Belongs to the Lord forever and ever. Power belongs to the Lord forever and ever.
Oh my God. Of you have hunger, serious hunger. Let the grace to heal the sick rest upon you today in the name of Jesus.
Now, I don't understand these ushers. Well, okay, you are doing your best, so let me leave you. There are people God sent me to give something. You have not allowed me to meet them. Or should I become an usher? I convert to an usher.
He said, when the spirit of truth is come, he will guide us to the place where reality is. So grace comes upon us. He will guide us to where reality is. He will cause us to see that which is not visible, to hear that which is not audible. He will bring us into reality. Oh my God. Experience reality. Experience reality. You must collide with reality. You must collide with it. You must collide with it. You must be swallowed in it. Beyond what you know, it brings you into reality and you cannot challenge it. Yes, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You must drink of it. You must drink of it. He invites you to drink of this reality. That you may drink of it. So that you may drink of it. Received a sign. I've received a sign. Listen, there is someone in the congregation. I believe it's because of you this whole event was put together. This person has been running away from God, running away, running away. Meanwhile, God is determined for you to serve Him maximally. So Jesus is going to fall on you. He will fall on you with intensity. His mighty hand will fall on you. His mighty hand will fall on you because of what He wants to use you for. It will be intense. It will be intense. Grace will come on you. Power. So there's one of you, the hand of the Lord is on you, but I don't know which one. But it will begin to intensify. It will begin to intensify so powerfully. Grace is being transmitted. It's been transmitted. Oh my God. See, someone that came with sight problems, the eye has cleared out. You can check it. The eye has cleared out. It is God's will. It's God's will for His hand to rest. Yes, Morafa, what happened there?
Yes, Apostle. God indeed visit families. So they...
Wait. Yes, go on.
Jesus healed the wife and also the husband as well. This is Brother Emmanuel. He had a digestive tract problem. Yesterday at the meeting, when you prayed for him, the power of God touched him. Initially, whenever he eats or drinks, he will feel pain and the food will not be able to hold. So from yesterday till today, he has been trying from drinking water to eating light food, to eating heavy food, and pain is completely gone.
God spoke about a digestive. Now, look for apple for him. Let's test it. Look for
apple. Ushers, apples.
Look for
red apple.
Be unto... Hello? Hey! All of you ushers, come. There's one of you. Let me just touch you. If I need to find that one, I'll just touch you. Just a little touch like this. Not... I will not push you. I'm looking for one of you. I'm looking for one of you. The anointing will rest on the person. Don't worry. One of you. So, Lord, the one that you have sent me to, help me find that one among these ones. Among these ones. Now listen. The heavens are open now. The heaven. Don't choke with this moment now. Don't choke with it. First of all, raise a prayer to God. Anything whatsoever that you desire, raise it now. So I command that spirit, depart from her. Depart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see an anointing. It will descend on the prophet. It will descend on the prophet. And the person will begin to speak in deep tongues. The Holy Ghost will overtake that vessel. Yes, you speak by inspiration. You will see, you will be lifted. The Lord is pleased. There are a few of you just like you. Yes, what happened to this lady?
Hallelujah. So she has been feeling for the past 20 years now.
For 20 years.
She felt something in a dream that translated into a pain in the chest.
So she had an encounter in a dream. It translated to a chest pain.
And which whenever she wants to breathe, she will feel the pain.
When she wants to preach, she will feel the pain.
Yes. So whenever you were praying for her, she yawned and then she felt a release. And finally, she's able to breathe now properly.
Come. She yawned. And there was a release.
And also, Apostle, she had a burning from fibroid. As you were praying, she also felt a release from that.
So let's start this way. Tell us about this pain. Huh? Yeah, Morafa.
So this pain would just...
Can you raise your voice a little on the microphone? Now, come, sister, come, sister.
Be unto the Lord. Be unto the Lord.
Your ears and eyes be open to hear and to see by the Holy Ghost. Let your eyes and ears be open to see and hear by the Holy Ghost. Let your eyes and ears be open to see and hear by the Holy Ghost. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, so, sister.
So this pain would come on and it would be like very restrictive, like bronchial constriction. And usually for it to be released, I'll have to take steroids.
You will need to take some drugs for you to be released from it.
Yeah.
For how long have you been laboring with this condition?
Probably. Well, it started 20 years ago.
Okay, so what happened while we were praying now?
So I just started yawning.
Yawning. And then...
And I could feel the pain as I was breathing, so I was very restricted. And so as I kept yawning, the pain went away and I could breathe in deeply.
She kept yawning and the pain kept going away. She kept yawning. We give you praise. We give you glory. Stretch your hands in his direction tonight. The Lord will touch you. Scopresco fe la muria kiso manzali. Kondera baboshek. Kondera baboshek. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let the yoke.
Hallelujah.
So we give you praise, we give you glory. So we give you praise, we give you glory. We give you honor. Be magnified. Be magnified. Yes, you are healed indeed. Can I bless you tonight? Oh my God. So the Lord is pleased. And you will experience a lifting because you were diligent to obey his voice. At the end of the day, in the book of John chapter 4, Jesus never drank the woman's water. But the woman drank of the eternal springs. Went into a city and watered the entire city. Brought the city to Jesus. You are leaving this place filled. And God is going to equip you to water as many people that are undergoing drought in destiny. And you will become the agency by which they will be refreshed. And so, Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I ask, water everyone that is here. Let there be an allocation of the eternal springs that will be made available to each one in this place, to each one following online. An encounter of the Holy Spirit, guiding us into all truth. Because we have experienced it, we have more authority than those that are locked up in arguments. We have touched it. Make everyone touch it. Make everyone handle it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every such yoke be broken completely in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yeah, are we okay? We have one more. Yeah, let's hear.
We have another notable miracle here. So our sister had a eye condition that she has to use 2 pairs of glasses daily. And she could not...
2 pairs of glasses.
Yes, sir. And she could not even read what is written on this envelope, and when you were praying, the power of God was released upon her eyes, and now she can read them to the glory of Jesus.
Somebody needs to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Equip her with the microphone. Equip her. You know, when these things happen, we have to sing.
Be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Power and might.
Power and glory. Be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Well, I'll call you Dan.
That works.
Hallelujah. I've been trying since I came. Names. All kinds of. So I just cut it short. And if it's not possible, we'll just say D. That's it. So, what is your story? You know why I'm interested in you? My lecturer used to use two sets of glasses from the universities. He'll fix one and fix one on that one. The eyes were dead. So this is the first time I'm seeing it. What's your story? I know that feeling. Oh my
so
God.
So I've
can we give Jesus a big hand? Yes.
The attacks after my eyes have been since birth.
Since birth.
But for a number of years, I was fine. Well, after the first 3 days, I was fine. About 10 years ago, my eyesight started deteriorating. To date, my last update is that I have four different things going on. Nearsighted in the right eye.
Nearsighted in the right.
Farsighted in the left.
Farsighted in the left.
I have astigmatism in both eyes.
Astigmatism in both eyes.
And a condition called PMD. That's pellucid marginal degeneration.
The devil is a liar. Somebody needs to shout.
Be on to us.
Wait, the doctors, they studied for 6 years. If you visit them, they are always saying something because they studied for 6 years. Oh my God. What did you call the fourth one? Where do they get these names from? That's the...
It's pellucid marginal degeneration. So the cornea of the
pellucid.
Eye. Pellucid, yes. So the cornea is deteriorating, and the only solution would be to replace them.
Okay. So how does these two pairs of spectacles come into this mix now?
Because there are so many things going on, one set of glasses does not work anymore. So they've referred me to get a special contact lens, which is scleral lens. But the thing with the scleral, I cannot get them in the eye. I have to use numbing drops, and numbing drops are not over-the-counter. So my next solution is to have one that I use for distance and driving, and the one for regular environment.
Now, so how can we be sure that something has happened to your eyes?
Because when I came in, I specifically picked up this envelope from the chair back in front of me, and I could only read movement. I flip it over, and I could only read a given envelope. But I can read all the details on the envelope now.
Be on to the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Be on to the Lord forever and ever.
Testimony.
Yes, Apostle, while we wait for the apple, we'll take this one. So,
the apple has not reached.
Well, so
the person I supposed to take the apple, be my guest at the green room, we must confirm this. There should be some delicacies there for you to try yourself out with.
Yes.
Okay.
In the green room. So this our brother here is an athlete, a college athlete at Texas Christian University. He had an hamstring pain, which
which actually was not able to compete yesterday. So when you were praying, the power of God hit his hamstring and he said, now the pain is completely gone to the glory of God.
Do something, let's see.
Do something.
Do something. Compete. So the games, are they over now?
We had a competition yesterday. It was supposed to be my last competition at school, but the season is not over. I have three more competitions.
You have three more competitions. Lord, give him a medal in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So you be the glory and the praise forever and ever. Amen.